Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
I am in breach of my employer's code of conduct. I've broken it in not one, but in four different ways, one of which involved barefaced lying. The normal thing would be to keep quiet about this, but I'm choosing to shop myself, partly because I've reason to believe I'm in good company, but also because the real wrongdoing was not done by me, but by the codes themselves, which breach the principles of common sense, human motivation, and snappy writing. Codes of conduct are scary things. Charlotte Hogg, who helped write the Bank of England's code, and is also an advisor to my charity, still managed to get tripped up by it, and this month had to resign as deputy governor. Seeing what happened to her, I decided to do something I'd never done before, settle down and read my own. The first thing the Financial Times Corporate Code of Conduct demands is that employees act in a professional, honest, and ethical manner, which is fine if a little general. But by the second bullet point, I'd already come a cropper. Be familiar with the information contained in this code, it ordered. In my defence, I have tried to read it on various occasions in past years, but I'm a slow reader and 9 pages of dull text is a bit much. This doesn't make me an outlier. It makes me just like most humans who are not naturally drawn to the small print on health and safety policies. In the past week, I've asked everyone I've met if they've read their employer's code of conduct. The majority either said no or looked sheepish and said they'd skimmed it. Some claimed to have read theirs, but when asked what it contained, could do no better than, oh, you know, the usual stuff. This means every year millions of wage slaves, including me, commit another violation and perjure themselves by ticking a box claiming to have read, understood, and committed to complying with the code when they've done nothing of the sort. The next breach concerns my obligation to report any colleague who is not following the code. I know for a fact that a certain FT journalist has not read it properly either, in which case I'm again at fault for not shopping him. But to grass up a person for something so tiny would interfere with my own ethical principle of not sneaking on a friend, especially one who is a fine, upstanding journalist. So what should I do? On this, as on every tricky real-life dilemma, a code of conduct is of no help at all. As for the rest of the code, it's perfectly sensible in a general sort of way. Though I fear the state of my desk may not be 100% compliant with fire regulations, and I see I have an obligation to read, understand, and abide by our Treasury policy, travel and expenses policy, and data retention and destruction policy, which saps the spirits no end. Yet by comparison to most other codes, the FT's is a work of brevity and precision. At my alma mater, JP Morgan, the new code runs to 50 pages, beginning with a picture of Jamie Dimon smiling angelically and staring into the middle distance. There are further pictures of happy women and black people, as well as one of employees throwing buckets of water over each other's heads. How the latter relates to the commandment that all JP Morgan staff treat each other with dignity, it doesn't say. The report is an interminable mishmash of important things and trivial ones, of strict regulations on money laundering and vague waffle about being a good global citizen, which is nonsensical in a code of conduct. What does it mean? And what business is it of the banks anyway? I would rather a code that came without the pictures, the values, and the cloying letter from the chief executive, but with a simple list of clear commandments. A reasonable start might be, don't do anything illegal, don't do anything that fails the private eye test, would look ugly if published in the satirical magazine, And don't do anything that you would be ashamed to tell your colleagues about. The trouble with this is that it misses what a code of conduct is actually for. It's part PR exercise and part excuse for firing anyone who a manager deems to have violated it. Sometimes, as the Bank of England has found out, the trap catches the wrong person.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Did you know the Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin? Through the words and experiences of investment professionals, you'll discover who was their best mentor, what's a mistake they made that changed their approach, and how do they find their next great idea? Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.